Let's see here. I've got to open
Radio.
See if it plays the intro. It might not. Nope. Okay, good. All right, hey. Nice. Okay, so I hear that. So, hey, start talking. Ryan? Shit. Oh. Merge the call, sorry. Okay. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, start just start talking real quick. I want to see if it comes up. I've got it open in my computer, so I want to see if your voice comes in.
Okay. I'm talking. yeah. Is this working?
Give me 1 second. There's a delay.
Just
here.
Talk about whatever, right?
Yeah, you can stop now. Bam! All right, cool. This works.
All right, sweet.
Sweet. So we'll be good to go as soon as the game ends.
Okay. How do you want? You just want to do it? Are you gonna just call back or just leave the line open?
Screw it. Let's just leave the line open. I don't want to mess it up. Unless you need the line for some reason.
No. I never use this phone. I only have it so I can buzz people into my apartment. So.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Then we're good to go. All right. Well, we'll just leave it open, and I guess you'll hear me cheering, and I'll hear you cheering.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, I'll leave it down, and we can talk on GChat, and then we're ready to go. We got it up.
Okay, sounds good, man.
All right, cool.
Later.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, okay, so you got to hear. I've got some audio drops. I don't know how comfortable I'll be using them yet, just because, first time going through this.
Yeah.
I've got some pretty fun audio drops that we can use.
Sweet.
Let me see it. Let me see if you come through the phone. All
right. Now, back to the game.
That was good.
All right, here's another one.
Illuminating your relative lack of knowledge of the game with a statement like that.
Who doesn't love Bobby Knight?
Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. No, you want an answer from me, you get the answer. You don't like an answer, then don't use the program, okay?
Hopefully we won't have people calling up with stupid stuff. We'll be ready for them if we do.
Yeah.
And then here's a fun one.
Oladipo!
And then, of course, I'm going to find
it's Indiana.
Yeah, I think the Oladipo one, anytime anybody mentions, just be like, Victor, and, you can do that. Like, I mean, you've got to time it out, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Once you guys get into the show, it'd be perfect.
Yep, exactly.
So who's your co-host, by the way?
It's Andy Bottoms.
I know the name.
Hey, actually, hey, will you hold on just 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. You still there?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, good. I'm back. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, we'll kind of – because I've done a couple of these for fantasy football, and I had some drops for that one, but I didn't really end up using them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these are a little bit more appropriate.
They definitely fit.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, and as far as like how it'll start, as soon as the game ends, I've got that 90-second intro to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just, you know, kind of play to, you know, give people a chance. I don't even know if anybody will come to this one. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I figure, you know, I'll start it off, do a quick intro, you know, just talk about, you know, a couple, you know, good things that I saw, whatever, a couple observations, kick it over to you, make a couple quick observations.
Okay.
And then the premium will be, I mean, my goal for this whole thing is callers. So the premium will be on callers. So even if callers call in early, I mean, we'll take the first couple minutes, you know, give our thoughts.
Yeah.
And then if just callers start coming in, we'll just take the calls. And if the entire thing is just callers, then that's great.
Yeah.
If not, then we'll just fill the extra time talking about the game or, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Whatever. So that's about it. Pretty easy, pretty free-flowing.
All right, cool. Sounds good to me.
So, and then it'll end at 9. So, I mean, if the game's going to get over to like 15, we only have about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Next time I'll make it a little bit, I'll let it stand out a little longer. Yeah.
Okay.
Do the test run.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, just let me know what time you want to start it, and I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as the game ends, as soon as the final buzzer goes off, I'll hit that 90-second intro.
Okay.
We'll be ready to rock and roll.
All right. Sounds good. What are we down to? We're inside 6 now? All right.
Yeah.
Shooting 70% in the second half.
Yeah, we're going to be good offensively.
Yeah, and Zeller's just going to – Zeller could take anywhere between 5 to 10 points off the points per game allowed
just by
being there. He doesn't even have to do anything.
Well, your Buckner made a great point. You know, Holes will learn when he gets beat on defense, just let the guy go.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Holes. That's why he gets beat so much is because – he plays really high up on the guy because that's the way he's been playing the last couple of years because they got to play right in guys' faces because he's, you know, he's short and he has to get shot. You know, the guys will shoot over him. But he'll realize that, you know, he can play a couple inches off because if a guy drives right by him, he's got help. And they haven't had that the last couple of years.
Holy shit, Purdue's up 84-31 on Northern Illinois. Jeez. Zeller just took a charge, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching. That was...
Look at that.
You know they're going to take him aside and be like, Cody, you don't have to do that. It's okay, man.
I know. We're up by 30, Cody.
Oh, man, they just missed that. Yeah, Oladipo is just, I mean, he's so much better.
Yep.
Yeah, because last year he was so quick. I mean, he would get by guys on the first move, but he would, you know, he'd dribble the ball out of bounds like half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he and Sheehy are playing a ton better.
Yeah, Sheehy's out. I don't know if you heard.
Wait, what?
Hey, Sheehy's out for the rest of the game. He flu-like symptoms.
Oh, really?
He scored 13.
Flu-like symptoms?
Yeah, he scored 13 points of flu-like symptoms.
Jeez, imagine what a healthy Sheehy's going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Now it's just garbage time.
Yeah. Elston from 3. Oh, you got to love that.
Dude, Elston's been awesome today.
Yeah, you know what? He can make that shot, and he's done, you know, he out of high school, he came into that. He came in being able to do that, but he just has lost completely lost confidence in it.
Yeah, he looks confident right now.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, is they say that he's been shooting really well the last. I was listening to the radio broadcast for a little bit, and they said he's just been shooting so much better the last couple weeks.
The great Don Fisher.
Yeah, oh, come on, he's the best.
He is the best.
I got to hang out with him in Maui when IU was at the Maui Invitational one year. That was about the best 20 minutes of my life right there.
It's awesome. Yeah, Don Fisher is the man. Look at Hall taking him to the hole.
I know.
Look at that. Well, I did not think this game was going to be – I thought this was going to be a closer game.
I mean, Stony Brook's not bad. They're really not.
I didn't expect Zeller to be this good, I have to admit.
You know what? I think that against Big Ten teams, he's not going to be this good just because Big Ten teams are going to have size. And he's going to get pushed around, and people can't expect him to be the savior. But to be a solid piece of the team, I mean, that's exactly what he needs, what he can be, and what he, what I think is his biggest asset is just being, you know, he basically having him. What people are not like thinking is about is that having him means Tom Pritchard doesn't have to play 25 minutes a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference. I mean, Pritchard can come in and foul, get, you know, and foul out in his 20 minutes, and it's not going to kill the team.
Yep. I agree. Hey, let me, I want to check something real quick. I want to see how this audio sounds.
Okay.
Give me just 1 second. I want to, why isn't this, wait a minute, are we not on? Oh, no, maybe this isn't playing. Okay, wait. Okay, good. I want to listen to see how this sounds online real quick. I'm glad this is a blowout because it helps. I can do it.
Yeah, it makes it easier.
Okay. I want to see how this, how the audio sounds actually coming through the computer. The phone's pretty good, especially for being on phones.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play this this audio intro because that's what I want to hear how it sounds.
Yeah.
Just say.
Shot is up. Missed it. Oh, no. Boozer. He missed. Step up now. Look at the rebound. And it won. They got us. And the other got us. They shot the ball. Oh! Oladipo.
And that counts.
It's Indiana. It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana. Yeah, we do it big. Busting on the big ten. You know what it is.
All right.
How'd it come through?
You still there?
Yeah. Yeah. Pritchard's the only guy who's entered the game who hasn't scored yet.
All right.
Well, I'm glad that wasn't on there.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I had the audio turned out on my phone.
That's okay.
Back now. Yeah, it sounds good. Audio sounds good, and our voices both sound good coming through the computer.
That's good.
I'm on speakerphone, which is nice.
Yeah, let me see. I'm looking at the stats right now. Pritchard's the only guy who's been in who hasn't scored.
Nice. Yeah, Bozich just tweeted out that our effective field goal percentage is 70.
Jeez. I heard they're having problems on the aircraft carrier.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, there was on the court. Yeah. I don't know how they didn't see that coming. It's San Diego. I grew up there. Every playing surface, like in the evening, gets like damp.
Yeah, how did, especially like any wood-based playing surface.
Yeah, like I mean, why? Yeah, I don't know. They should have. What they should have used is some kind of like the rubber court stuff.
Yeah, but, exactly. We've all played on that growing up. That wouldn't have been bad.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sport court.
Bad at all.
Did they, now, does that game count?
Yeah, it counts.
It's not an exhibition? Okay. I wasn't sure.
Now, I'm sure, you know.
Nobody's going to, yeah.
Or whatever, they'll keep it in context, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But, it, yeah, I mean, on official, Abel just sprained his ankle.
Yeah, he landed awkwardly. He looks
like
his
potential. He's a cream-type guard.
You know, yeah.
Junior and senior, he'll be a.
Definitely.
He'll be like sixth, seventh man.
No, they like. Here's the thing: is I mean, if it weren't for Farrell coming in next year, it would. I mean, he would definitely be the kind of guy who would be like a three-year, a guy who was a solid contributor for 3 years. And what he's gonna do is, I guarantee you, he could even play with Yogi at the same time if there's a taller, really good offensive guard against us,
yep.
Because he's supposed to be just an insane defender.
Yep.
And
yeah, he's got those long arms. He's quick.
Yeah, and then, well, it's like Ron Patterson. Like that guy is 6'3" with a 6'11" wingspan.
Yep. He's the underrated part of that class.
Oh, for sure. I think he's the glue guy of that class. I really do.
Yep.
If you watch their highlights from when they all played together in AAU games, he was just always solid. He's such like a selfless player.
Yeah. He's like Chris Reynolds on, you know, the 93 team, you know?
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
He's bigger, obviously, and probably can score better, but, you know, defensively and just attitude-wise.
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison. Let's see. So all our freshmen have points tonight.
Yeah, dude, Etherington, as soon as he came in, made a great basket cut, and Holtz found him. I love basket cuts.
Yeah. Oh, look at the three.
Nice.
Just nailed a three. Yeah.
Dude, look at Etherington.
I know.
He's like a shorter Brian Evans.
He's, you know what he is, though? He's really, like, people didn't talk about him at all in this class because of Zeller, obviously, but he's one of those guys who's definitely an Indiana player. Like, he is a very all-the-way-around Indiana player. He's going to play hard. He may not be, like, super athletic, but he can do a lot. And he improved, like, people sort of lost him nationally on the national recruiting radar last year, but he improved a ton as a scorer.
Yeah. No, as people have been tweeting, we finally have depth.
Oh, that's the biggest thing, especially in the Big Ten. I mean.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
And the thing is, all our depth can play because all the seniors have played. They've had to play. The juniors have all had to play. So they've all seen a ton of minutes. And that's.
Yep.
Invaluable.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, there's no replacing that.
But yeah, it's absolutely.
What a good first game, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially be at home, get your freshmen involved and play well. And the other thing that we have, too, with all these guys is they all fit into Crean's system well because he's very much – I don't necessarily love this kind of offense. It's a driving kick offense. And
yeah.
I don't necessarily love it. But the guys we have fit it very well.
Yeah, well, and it's going to look a lot different having a legit post presence.
Exactly.
You know,
no.
5 minutes of the second half, that's what we're going to look like when we play our best.
Yeah, absolutely. And nobody can and it's almost impossible for anybody to defend that.
Yep.
Because he's just so good around the hoop.
Yeah, we weren't great, but we had some efficient players on offense last year. Where we got killed as defense, and when we Etherington for three and making shots when we need them, and now we have someone inside that can help, you know, help us accomplish that, which is going to be
right. And depth was a huge issue last year too. Guys, they were just getting run ragged at the end of games.
Yeah.
Especially once Creek went out, then you had Burdell and Holes were having to play virtually the entire game.
Yep. Wow. Up by 30. I was fully anticipating this being a 8-9 point game going into the 4-minute timeout where it was
you know, in doubt. I did not expect this.
See, Holes, okay, how was this? Holes and Jones have combined for 11 points.
I can see us being very good with them combining for only that many points.
I know. I think that's when we're going to be at our best.
Yeah.
If, you know, because last year the problem was sometimes on the court was who's going to score.
Yeah.
You know.
No, you're right. I was really impressed with Verdell. All right, here we go. About to be the final buzzer. And all right, I'm going to hit this intro, and then we'll get started as soon as the intro runs.
Sounds good.
Shot is up. Missed it. Oh, no. Boozer. He missed. Tip up now. Look at him. Rebound it. And then it won. They got us. Indiana got us. They shot the ball. Oh! Oladipo.
Ha ha. And that counts.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana, yeah, we do it big, busting on the big, and you know what it is, cause this is IU, you, you, this is IU, you, you, we have banners on the wall.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to the very first episode of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I am your host, Jared Morris, of Midwest Sports Fans. I am joined tonight by Ryan Phillips of Rumors and Rants, and we are going to take you through some postgame reaction, talk about tonight's game, Indiana against Stony Brook, the Hoosiers, with a great opening game win. We're going to talk about that, and of course, we want to take your calls. Our goal with this show is to be the post-game hangout for IU fans. We want you to call in. We want to get your reactions. Callers get the precedence on this show. We've got plenty to talk about if no one calls. But, hey, if people call all game or all night, then we don't need to talk at all. So call in. The number to call in is 323-843-6016. Again, that's 323-843-6016. Call in. We will get you on the air. Let's talk Hoosier hoops. And of course, you know, the big story coming into tonight, the first game of the season, the first game of the Cody Zeller era. And I think everybody has to be impressed with the first game of Cody Zeller. You know, early on, didn't get a lot of looks down low. You know, those first two possessions on defense got taken to the hole. And after that, I thought Cody Zeller was outstanding, especially for a freshman playing his first game. He played very well defensively, a little slow in the first half, only had 4 points in the first half, but came out in the second half, and you could tell that the emphasis was on getting the ball down low to Zeller. The Hoosiers got it to him. He was able to make some moves around the basket to score some points. Zeller played very well. But for me, the story of the game tonight was the sophomores, the super softs, Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy. The two of those guys led the Hoosiers early on with their energy. And, in fact, I've got it down here, I believe – where do I have it written down here? Oladipo had 6 of the team's first 9 points. Between the two of them, Sheehy and Oladipo had 13 of the first 16. Sheehy had 13 points and 5 rebounds, playing with flu-like symptoms in the first half. Oladipo had 8 points in the first half. They really set the tone, and their athleticism just, you know, I was watching the game on TV. It just jumped off the screen on TV. The two of those guys really played confident. They played very well on the offensive end of the floor to lead the Hoosiers. And with that, I want to bring in my guest host tonight, Ryan Phillips, get some of his thoughts. Ryan, what's your first impression of this Hoosiers team there after that first game against Stony Brook?
This is a deep, athletic team. I mean, finally what Indiana fans have been waiting for, you know,
yeah,
for 4 years now. This is a team that can suffer a loss to Sheehy and not have it completely, you know, drop off everything. And Sheehy, again, he played great in the first half. He was gone, and it took me about 5 minutes of the second half to realize he wasn't even playing because they were playing so well without him.
Yeah.
And but you're absolutely right. I think Oladipo and Sheehy are both just so improved. It's really ridiculous how much how much better they've become. Sheehy, I know all offseason was working on his shot. That's what I kept hearing from people. And you know, sure enough, he came out tonight, knocked down a couple jumpers, and then did all the things we saw him do last year, which is, you know, provide energy, backside rebound putbacks. I mean, we saw him do that last year. And I think he's always going to be that kind of energy guy. But at the same time, if he can stand out and take a kick out from Zeller and hit a three, I mean, it completely changes the complexion of the team if guys like he and Oladipo are playing consistently to that level, as opposed to just, you know, providing energy and bursts like we saw last year and then making mistakes as well. Oladipo last year, we all saw that his first step is as quick as anybody in the country, and he could get by guys. But usually on that second or third dribble, after he'd burst by him, he'd either lose the ball or get knocked out of bounds. And it was almost like every once or twice every three or four drives, he'd stop himself. And tonight he was under control. He was he still had that ridiculous athleticism when he got on the open floor, but he was not forcing anything. And clearly his ball handling is just so much better. And he and Zeller were the points leaders with 16 apiece. And, you know, Oladipo was 7-9 from the field. I mean, that kind of production from a guy who last year, I mean, he did start some games, but he was really thought of as just an energy burst guy. If he really is going to take that next step and be a consistent high-level contributor, that completely changes everything for this team. And just like having a guy like Zeller in the middle changes everything. And I thought Zeller, as you said, I thought Zeller was fantastic. If you look at the whole game, not that first couple minutes where he got beat a few times and where, you know, he just looked kind of lost and they weren't getting him the ball, he settled in and I mean, he showed exactly the kind of player we all know he can be. And I think people are putting a lot of pressure on him this year, and he's just got to be himself. He had 16 and 10 tonight. He's not going to average that during the season, you know, but if he's the kind of guy he was defensively, again, it changes everything for this team because they have somebody in the middle who can patrol the paint and help them out when they get beat on drives. And that way guys don't have to foul as much. And that's always been a big problem, is getting beat and reaching around and trying to slap the ball. Boom, that's a foul. And we all know IU, you know, this roster could foul with the best of them last year.
You're right about that. I actually, as I was making notes throughout the game, a number of my notes were about fouls. I wrote only three fouls through 13 minutes. We actually only had nine fouls in the first half. And I was wondering when the last half of basketball was that we didn't finish in the double bonus. I'm not sure I can remember because
I can't. And Tom Crean has always had teams, you know, when he was at Marquette as well, who were very aggressive defensively. And so you're going to get, you know, reaching fouls on the perimeter and things like that because he has guys play really tight defense. But now if they get beaten, they don't feel like they're lost because they've got a guy back there who can protect the goal. And again, it's another aspect of this that just sort of changes the whole flow of the team, and they know they've got, you know, it's going to take a while to get used to that, to having that guy behind him. You saw Jordan Hull get beat and had a foul at one point, and you could just see him afterwards, like, kind of stop and shake his head because he knew, oh, man, I got a guy back there. So, again, these guys have played a certain way for a while. It's going to take a little bit of time, but it's very encouraging win tonight against a Stony Brook team that's many are picking to go to the tournament this year.
Yeah, this is a good team. This is a team, you know, that had some injuries last year. They ended up going to the championship game of their conference tournament. I think a lot of people, including Tom Crean, thought this was going to be a really tough game. And not that Stony Brook isn't a tough team, you know, didn't come to play. But Indiana just really, you know, I think what we saw, and a tweet from Zach Osterman that came in, Indiana's out-muscling Stony Brook. When was the last time that happened? That was, you know, in quotes, that was his tweet. He's right. You know, I think what was really nice to see tonight is against a team that Indiana should beat, you beat them. And we imposed our will on them. We played our game on them. And that was really good to see. Because a lot of times in the past 3 years, some of these non-conference games, you know, we might beat a team like Stony Brook by, you know, by 6-7 points. but you know, you didn't necessarily feel great about it leaving the game. And leaving this game, I feel really good. You know, this was a close game early. I mean, the first 10 minutes of this game were back and forth. These two teams played very even. And in fact, I believe the score was 22-21, and there was a long stoppage of play. No one really knew what the refs were looking at, and a replay showed that one of the Stony Brook players actually popped Cody Zeller in his junk, and you know, a move that obviously probably didn't feel very good for him. And the Stony Brook player was called for a flagrant 2 foul. He was ejected from the game. Zeller ended up making 2 or 3 of the free throws. He ended up getting 4 free throws because there was also another foul on the play. And from that point on in the first half, the Hoosiers just went on a big run. And it was, they went on an 18-4 run. They actually went on a 23-7 run at the end of the first half after the Zeller nut punch, as I had it written here in my notes. that was, you know, and the reason I mentioned that, it was great to see, you know, the Hoosiers make that big run at the end of the first half. What was even better is I liked, you know, if you've watched IU for the last couple of years, you've gotten used to pretty decent first halves and then big-time struggles coming out of halftime and in the second half. And what I really liked about this game is that Indiana played its best basketball, you know, coming out of that first half. Now, you know, Verdell Jones had a bad foul in the first possession, and not everything was clean. But there was a sequence of plays where, you know, those first 4 minutes, not only were they getting the ball down to Zeller in the block, which they didn't do in the first half, and they did a much better job in the second half, but there was a sequence of one play where Zeller got a steal, drove the ball all the way down the court, and had a dunk. It was the first thing I thought of when he was dribbling down the court was that famous play with Shaq, you know, where he steals the ball and he's driving down the court and leads the fast break. That was the first thing that came
Absolutely.
Into my mind. Yeah. You know, Zeller, just this big guy, he's leading the break, he dunks. And then there was another play. I think this, to me, is the play that epitomizes what Zeller adds to the team. Is there was a play. Stony Brook missed a shot. Zeller had his guy boxed out. The rebound was a little bit over his head. It was a tough rebound. He had to tip it a couple times. He got the rebound, and Oladipo was boxing his man out underneath. Zeller throws a nice little touch pass down to Oladipo, and Oladipo scores. And it's the kind of play that we don't have. You know, Tom Pritchard, I love him, but he doesn't make that play. You know, Watson probably doesn't get the rebound. But Zeller was able to get the rebound, have the wherewithal to make the pass, and Oladipo scored. And I think, to me, that sequence of plays, you know, led by Zeller there in those first 3-4 minutes, and, you know, obviously, we, you know, you can't put everything on Zeller. And to me, still the story of the game was Oladipo and Sheehy. But some of the things Zeller was able to do that he may not be able to do those things in Big Ten play, and I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about that in a second when the play gets a little bit more physical. But just some of the skills and the intelligence that he has are things we haven't seen from a big man maybe since Jared Jeffries. I mean, I can't really, you know, DJ White developed into that.
For sure.
You know, but, you know, that was really what Jared Jeffries brought to the team when the team made their, you know, their run to the Final Four. And those are some of the things I'm seeing from Zeller early on.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that those are just little things. And the other thing you notice on that play where he gets the rebound and gives it to Oladipo is there's 4 guys from Stony Brook standing there staring at Zeller. And because they know they have to be aware of where he is and what he's doing, because you know, everyone knows how skilled he is. You know, and every opponent that we face this year is going to be aware of Zeller at all times, and that awareness is going to open up other things for other people. And that's one thing we didn't have last year. Or even in the last 3 years, the fact that you've got that guy down there that you have to be aware of. It's going to make the defenders on the perimeter back off a little bit. It's going to open up 3-pointers. It's going to open up driving lanes. And it really is going to just, again, as I've said a few times, I sound like a broken record, but it just changes things. And I think people underestimate how big a deal it is to have a guy down there. I mean, Zeller is extremely skilled for a big man, but even just having a guy who can turn around and lay it in every couple of possessions just adds a whole other dimension to an offense, and having a guy that's that good down there is it takes it to another level. And I think you're right. Coming right out of that first half break, they mentioned this on the broadcast, but clearly the message was we're going to go inside with this ball and see what happens. And right away, it just opened up everything else. And you know, they had one play where Zeller flashed sort of like a UCLA cut from the top. And they just hit him, you know, go in stride, caught it, laid it up perfectly. you know, and then there was another play, and I almost fainted when this happened because we haven't seen this in years. It was a high-low pass from Christian Watford down to Zeller. He just turned around, laid it in, and that's what you're going to have to see all year. And IU is going to be at their best this year, not when one guy is scoring 25 points. They're going to be at their best like when they were tonight, where everybody's chipping in a little bit, and the scoring's coming from different areas. It's going to throw off the defense. Last year, I mean, it seemed like there were, there'd be at least two dozen possessions a game where it'd come down to the last 5 seconds of the shot clock, and everybody was looking at Verdell Jones and Jordan Hull saying, all right, which one of you is going to score?
Yep.
And this is just a completely different attitude on this team. I think they know. I think they're more aware than we were about what they can do. And
yep.
They looked very confident tonight. And just they didn't get, you know, and it could have happened earlier, you know, when they got smacked a little bit by Stony Brook. Stony Brook took a lead for a little bit, and they could have kind of shrugged their shoulders and just kind of played out the string until halftime and then said, okay, we'll pick it up after the half. But, no, they smacked them right back. And that was really nice to see. I think the effort has been there over the last few years, but the effort combined with the skill now is finally – the skill has finally reached the level of the effort, you know,
yeah.
And that's just so big. That's when the team turns a corner.
Yeah, well, and the next step in that also, and I agree with you, then the next step is adding the basketball IQ portion to it.
Absolutely.
I think part of what has frustrated Indiana fans especially, you know, especially Indiana fans who grew up, you know, always going into a game thinking that you were going to have the smarter team, and most of the time having the smarter team, is that, you know, really for, especially for the second part of the Mike Davis era, once the Coverdales and those guys left, and then for a good part of this Crean era, I think we've always felt like our team hasn't matched up from a decision-making standpoint to teams. Now, a lot of that has been just because of inexperience, and we finally have some experience now. But that's why it was so nice to see a team come out after halftime, you know, and look like there was a plan in place. You know, clearly the coaches, you know, put some emphasis on getting the ball inside, doing certain things, and they did it. And that sounds simple, but it's something that we haven't seen in a while. And it's one of the biggest criticisms that Crean has gotten, and rightfully so. You know, he's been criticized for that. And I think part of it, you know, is probably him, you know, part of it is maybe him growing as a coach. And another part of it is having smarter players. You know, Zeller, you can just tell he's already one of the smartest players on the team. And that's natural with the experience he has, the family that he comes from. And guys like Verdell Jones, I'll tell you, one of the guys that I was impressed with the most tonight is Verdell Jones. And
yeah.
I made a note early on. It was at about the 10-minute mark. And I made a note, no offensive impact in the first 10 minutes, you know, because we went through the first 10 minutes of the game, and I didn't even remember his name being called on offense.
No.
But then it was almost like right after I wrote that note, you know, he had a good drive and dish. He set himself up on the baseline, made a nice jump shot. And I think, you know, what he did, and actually the guys at the Inside the Hall podcast talked about this week, is he really played within himself. And I think he's going to be able to do that more now. In the past, you know, especially, you know, his freshman and sophomore year, Verdell had to score points. And he had the four shots, like you were saying, at the end of the shot clock. You know, he was one of the few guys we had that could actually create a shot. And I think, you know, from an offensive standpoint, you know, maybe we got a poor impression of what kind of player Verdell is because we saw him taking shots that, you know, seem a little wild, maybe don't seem like the greatest decisions, but he had to. Now that he has more talent, that he's got guys like Oladipo and Sheehy who are confident enough on offense, he's got a guy like Zeller down low, he can play within himself. And, you know, I thought there were some stretches tonight where it was some of the best basketball I've seen from Verdell Jones.
And he was scoring.
More complimentary role, but that's the role that he can play when he's at his best and when the team's at its best.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I think it's the same with Jordan Hulls. You know, last year it was almost like Hulls was always, when every time he got the ball, he knew he had to do something. Whether it was drive and find somebody or just try and, you know, look. You'd see so many times he'd catch the ball and, you know, pump fake and take a little dribble and then look again for his three. And for a three, and tonight you didn't see any of that. I mean, he took a three. He took a bad three at one point. But, yeah, he was just rushed. He wasn't ready to take it. But I'm okay with that, with one, you know, one shot. But, you know, he ended up 2 of 3 from the field, and, you know, he had a couple nice – he had a nice layup at one point, but he wasn't looking to force anything. You know, it was almost like I think the biggest change here, and you touched on it a little bit with the basketball IQ thing. I think the biggest change is they have confidence in each other. And that just comes from being around each other enough. You know, I mean, they all know that now that Oladipo and Sheehy can do things. So when they get him the ball, they're not getting him the ball like, okay, now give it right back. They're giving him the ball with the thought, you know, hey, go, you know, so the change, and you were mentioning basketball IQ, and you got to realize that every class that's come in under Crean the last 3 years, they've all had to play. You know, a lot of times freshmen come in and they sit for their first year or redshirt or, you know, maybe play a little bit or, you know, are getting 5 minutes a game. But everybody on this roster at one point or another has either been a starter or played major minutes. So that is huge. I mean, guys like Pritchard, I mean, Pritchard only played a little bit tonight. But, you know, that's a guy who used to start in his freshman year. He was, you know,
He was a key contributor.
Yeah, and now he gets to be a guy who can come in and play 10 to 15 minutes a game.
Well, that's what he should be. That's absolutely what he should play.
Exactly, and that's the thing, is that's the perfect role for him. And now he's a senior. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's not expecting to do anymore, and he can go out there and just help the team win.
Yep.
And I think the guys like Verdell, after 3 years of losing, he's like, hey, you know what? If this gives us a chance to win, and I get to go out as a senior on a winning team that's playing this well, I don't care about my stats.
Yep.
You know? And it's just it's a little change there, and it's a different philosophy, I think, that comes with winning. And guys play differently when they think they got a chance to win. They really do. And and that showed tonight. I mean, they you know, when they got a lead, a lot of times what happens is you get a lead and you kind of slack off. They kept the pedal to the floor the whole game. I mean, they won 96-66. And at any point in the last 5 minutes, they could have cooled off and nobody would have blamed them for it, because it's the first game of the season. But I mean, it was almost like the players just kept coming in waves, you know. You had Austin Etherington out there hitting a couple big threes and, you know, finishing with 8 points. And that's great for a freshman to come out there and get a little playing time and do that. But he got in the game and it looked like he was hungry to do something. And, you know, and that's great. That's perfect for a guy like him to be able to do, is come in as a freshman and get his minutes and be super, you know, focused in his short burst time and play. And you saw that from Oladipo and Sheehy at the beginning of last year before they ended up becoming starters. But, you know, most other programs have their freshmen come in, unless they're, you know, a super five-star guy, and they're, you know, their first year, they're just coming in for a couple minutes, and they'll come in and hopefully give you an impact in a few minutes, and then they'll sit on the bench, and the next time they come in, they're just excited to be in the game. And seeing Etherington and even Remy Abel to a little bit of a degree tonight just come in and be able to produce and have their little burst of playing time, then go to the sidelines and get schooled by the coaches and told what to do, and then be able to come back in and contribute. I mean, that's the learning curve that some of these other guys didn't get in their first or second year with the team, because they were playing the whole, you know, starters' minutes. And that leads to guys being better, and you're seeing that with Oladipo and Sheehy as well. You know, people underestimate the value of sitting on the bench and watching the game and seeing what other guys do right and wrong and digesting it. And you'll often see, I mean, it happens a lot in the NFL with quarterbacks. You know, they'll get injured and sit out, watch something, and then be better when they come back. And that is definitely the case with basketball. And I think you're going to start to see that now with these recruiting classes that come in. They'll be expected to play, but they won't necessarily be expected to be the guy right off the bat. And that's something Indiana hasn't had since Crean's been there.
Yep. No, I agree with you. Again, folks, I'm Jared Morris of MidwestSportsFans.com. My guest host tonight is Ryan Phillips of RumorsAndRants.com. And you are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. We are going to be here every single IU game immediately after the game ends to do some instant analysis. We want to get your reaction. Again, the phone number to call is 323-843-6016. 323-843-6016. All the phone lines are open, so feel free to call. You know, our priority is to get the callers in. We want you reacting, so call in. We'll get you on here, and if you don't, we'll just keep talking IU hoops. Now, I think what's amazing to me about tonight, or one of the most amazing things anyway, is Indiana beat Stony Brook by 30, a game, again, as we mentioned, that some people thought was going to be a tighter or closer game. I certainly think most people expected it to be tighter than a 30-point game. And the one guy who was getting, you know, preseason, you know, all Big Ten, second team, third team, you know, discussion is Christian Watford. And that's a name we haven't mentioned yet tonight. And Indiana won by 30 points with Watford. You know, he had his moments tonight, but he wasn't, you know, the ball didn't go through him. Like, if Christian Watford doesn't score 20 points, we don't have a chance, as at some points last year it did. And I think, you know, Quinn Buckner on the broadcast mentioned a few times that it's going to be a bit of a transition for, you know, for Watford learning how to play with Zeller. And it's going to be a transition for all those guys. And, you know, Watford's had a little bit of an injury, and you can tell he was just a little bit out of it there early, but he came on and played well. And then a couple other guys, you know, that we want to talk about, you know, one in particular is Derek Elston.
Absolutely.
Well, I think he's been a guy who has frustrated IU fans at certain points, you know, maybe taking some ill-advised shots, making some poor decisions. And he came out tonight, and the confidence that he played with. I mean, to me, the three guys who looked the most confident tonight were Oladipo, Sheehy, and Elston.
And I 100% agree with you.
Just as soon as Elston got the ball, he's looking to shoot. And I don't have the stats in front of me. I think you got him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what Elston shot, but he couldn't have missed more than a couple shots. I mean,
he was 5 of 6 and 1 of 1 from 3, so he finished with 11 points.
Yeah, and they were, you know what, they were good shots. They were shots within the offense. You know, he was open. And, you know, if he can provide that dimension, because I think one of the perceived weaknesses of this team coming into the season was front court depth. I think everybody knew that Zeller was going to make an impact. You know, you got Pritchard, you know, you got Watford. Elston's kind of a wild card. If he's a guy who can come in, and he's not going to score 11 points every game, but if he can come in and give you 6 to 8 points, grab some boards, that's a really nice dimension to add to this IU team.
I absolutely agree. And one thing about Elston is anybody who saw him in high school, I covered a game he played in high school, and he had that. That was a big part of his arsenal in high school, was being able to just not just be a big guy who turned around and laid the ball in like you can do when you're his size in high school, but he also could step out on the floor and hit a shot. And when he entered school here, I think that, you know, that they expected that to be a part of his game. But I think that, you know, the difference in his game, and somebody mentioned this earlier on the night on the radio broadcast, was just he's just confident in his shot again, and he lost that last year. And you'd see him shoot last year, but you could almost see in his face that he was questioning himself as he's shooting it. And, you know, now, again, with so many other weapons, there's not as much pressure on each guy to score, and so he can be relaxed. He's like, well, if I miss this jumper, it's not the end of the world. You know,
right.
This isn't a make-or-break possession. But, yeah, he was getting the ball in the offense. He got it on the baseline from about 18 feet at one point, just went right up, stuck it. He had a three later in the game. And, yeah, he was just confident. He was just going up and just playing. And that's a huge thing for players when they can just finally shut their brain off and just play to the level they know they can play and just let themselves go and play in the flow of things and not be worrying about what I do here, what I do there, and it just it make it natural. And that's a transition from, you know, a sophomore to a junior that often happens. And it's the same thing with Oladipo and Sheehy. They clearly aren't thinking twice when they go. They're just going. And, again, that's freshman to sophomore. That's the biggest change. And you're right. Adding Elston to the mix in the front court as a consistent player would be huge, because Pritchard – is not going to be an offensive threat. He'll come in, and he's going to come in and play defense.
Yeah, he's a good body to bang, give you 5 fouls, you know, grab you some rebounds, you know.
Right.
But that's about the extent of what he can give you right now.
Exactly. And my friends, when they complain about Tom Pritchard, I always say every Big Ten team has to have a guy like that.
Of course.
They can just knock people around and go get rebounds and, you know, foul a guy hard if you need to, a nice, clean, hard foul, let them know you're there.
Yeah.
And another thing that Pritchard's going to do a lot of this year, that is not the first time. Tonight is not the first time Cody Zeller's going to take a shot from somebody.
No.
Especially
when the Big Ten season starts.
Yes. They're going to have a guy off the bench come in and just give him a forearm shot to the kidneys. They're going to do whatever it takes to knock him around and try and knock him down a peg and get him to question himself. Pritchard's going to be a guy who's going to come off the bench and return the favor.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be almost like a hockey enforcer for us, I think, once the Big Ten rolls around. And so he's, you know, having that depth up front, again, it really changes the dynamic of the team, because under Crean, we've always had decent guards. I mean, yeah. You know, ever since his first year, we had guards who could do something with the ball. And so now being able to have depth at the guard position and then also have depth up front really just makes him a complete team. And a guy like Elston being able to come in just sort of almost out of nowhere and just pop in 11 points, obviously, like you said, it's not going to happen every night, but that's a huge boost, and especially when a guy like Watford. I mean, Watford was 2 of 7 on the night.
Yeah.
And one thing that's always frustrated me about Watford, he's a tremendously skilled player and he's a great kid, but he's a 6'9 guy who plays like he's 6'4. And I think it's even last year, it wasn't like he was an in the post back to the basket guy. So the transition with Zeller isn't going to be too hard. Where he needs to learn how to play is around the free throw line, so they can get that high-low action that we saw a little bit of tonight. And you know, because if he's playing there, and even if Zeller has the ball, he can turn around and give it to Watford. And Watford can shoot over a guy from right there. And instead of hanging out around the 3-point line where he likes to hang out, you know, it's a much easier shot getting in closer. And I think that, like they were saying on the broadcast, it's going to be an adjustment for him having a guy there in the post. But I think if anything, in the long run, it's going to help him.
Yeah, I mean, to clarify, you know, I think Quinn Buckner made it sound like the transition was going to be from Watford not playing with his back to the basket.
Right.
And I certainly don't think that's the transition, because like you said, I mean, Watford's a guy who likes to play with on the perimeter. He likes to face the basket. I think, you know, the big transition, especially for Watford and Jones, and I think Jones did a little bit better job of it tonight than Watford did, is playing on a team with multiple options, on a good balanced team, you know, where those guys don't have to get the ball, you know, 5 seconds left in the shot clock or even earlier and create a shot. Shots will be created for these guys out of the offense. And to me, you know, another thing, and look, you know, obviously the caveat needs to be given. It's the first game of the season. You know, this wasn't a Big Ten team, so things do need to be, you know, be kept in perspective. But no matter how you slice it, there are certain things that you saw from this team, just from a mental perspective, from a flow perspective, that give you confidence moving forward. And one of those things is our willingness to make the extra pass. And I was very, very impressed by this at numerous times throughout the night, where, you know, where it seemed like maybe in the past a guy like Watford or a guy like Jones might have taken a shot. Tonight we were making that extra pass, and it was getting a better look, or it was getting, you know, a look closer, you know, inside the paint. And that, to me, is a huge step for a team. You know, when guys don't feel like, you know, as soon as I have a sliver of room, I have to shoot it, because I don't know if we'll get another look like this the entire possession. Now guys are playing more calm within themselves, looking for their teammates, and shots are coming within the offense as opposed to guys just having to create shots. And that is something that we haven't seen very much at all over the last 3 years. And it's just, you know, it's been part of the growth process of going from nothing to having a complete team, which it looks like we have a chance to have much more of one this year.
Absolutely. And to your point, Jones, the stats officially just got posted. Jones had 7 assists tonight.
Yep.
Jordan Hulls had 6. And the team as a whole had 21 assists on 34 made field goals. That's a great percentage. And
yeah, it's phenomenal.
It just means you're sharing the ball, and it means that you have confidence in the guy next to you. And another great stat, I had to read this one just because we're going off about Sheehy, but he played 10 minutes, had 13 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a steal.
Yeah. But we had 34 field goals and 21 assists.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal ratio. And again, those are numbers that aren't going to stick, you know, all year. And I think we are maybe being a little more excited than we should be, instead of being cautiously optimistic. But when you've had the 3 years we've had,
yes,
a win like this means a lot.
We deserve some unbridled optimism right now.
Absolutely.
Apologize for being excited about this game.
Yeah, we've been through a rough 3 years, all right? It's
Okay, but with that said, you know, we talked a little bit about Watford struggles. Let's challenge ourselves right now, because there are some things that can improve. And to me, the biggest thing that stuck out in terms of a negative to me, I didn't like the play of Jordan Hulls in the first half. Now, he rebounded and played better in the second half. I think he had 4 assists in the second half. He played better. He had a couple of really nice. One of my favorite plays of the game. I love basket cuts. Basket cuts arouse me. Like a good, well executed basket cut. It's such a simple play, but it's so underrated because people don't do it. Hey, wherever you're at, cut towards the basket because people don't pay attention on defense, and it's the easiest way to score. Just cut to the basket. And if you have guys with floor vision, you can get so many easy baskets that way. And one of the first things Austin Etherington did when he got in is he cut to the basket, and Jordan Hulls found him. It was a nice play. And, you know, that was a nice play for Jordan Hulls because I thought in the first half, you know, there were at least 2 missed blockouts I counted that led directly to putback points. He had that really bad crossover dribble at the top of the key in the first half that led to a steal and some points. One of the Stony Brook guys drove by him on the right baseline, and Jordan Hulls bumped him with his body when he didn't really need to do it. It was a great point by Quinn Buckner. You know, Hulls is going to learn. He's got Cody Zeller down low now to help clean things up if he gets blown by, so he doesn't need to bump the guy. So I thought, you know, Hulls made some mental errors. He made some physical errors. You know, some of his athletic limitations showed up. But I was impressed by the fact that he came out. You know, he started the second half. He continued to play with confidence, and he made up for it. He made some nice plays, got guys into the flow of the offense. But I think some of those things that showed up in the first half, the missed blockouts, just some poor decisions from a ball handling perspective, those are some things he needs to clean up. Because, you know, I think in the past, and I really like Jordan Hulls. I think Jordan Hulls he's this team's, you know, emotional vocal leader. And so he's going to have a big role on this team. But he needs to play mistake-free basketball to stay on the floor with the kind of athletes that we have now and the guys that are coming in. You know, with Sheehy and Oladipo, and if Verdell is playing smarter, you know, those are all guys with size and multifaceted skills that if Hulls is making mistakes, especially mental mistakes, it's going to be hard, I think, for Tom to justify playing him late in games if that's the case, because he gives up so much on the defensive end. It's really tough to nitpick a game where you win by 30 at home and you look really good doing so, but I think to me there were just a few questions brought up by Jordan Hull's play. But I think, like I said, he cleaned it up in the second half and really showed that he can have kind of that rough first half but still be a leader for this team that comes back and plays well in the second half.
One thing about Jordan that we've learned over the years is he's always going to keep coming. He's not going to get discouraged. He's not going to get down on himself. He's not. So if he does have a bad first half, that's not going to discourage him from still playing hard. He plays his butt off. And, again, he does have limitations. I mean, it's like last year, people made the simple adjustment when he was shooting about 50% from three. They just put a taller guy on him, and it was hard for him to get his shot off. And so those are little things that he's never going to have. He's never going to be 6'5". And but he does, like you said, he is a leader on the team by example. And, again, those mistakes, he's not going to be able to make those at the end of the year, again, in Big Ten play, in bigger, tighter games. But I also think that along with some of the other guys, he's got a real opportunity to grow and play within this offense and be more of a pure point guard that he was supposed to be when he came here and not a scorer like he's had to be the last 2 years. He'll have games where because Crean runs a bit of a drive and kick offense, and he'll have games where he's going to be open from three and he will knock down threes and he will score points. But that's not going to be what he's expected to do every game. And I think you're right. The discouraging thing was that he made a couple mistakes that we've seen him make before in that first half. But I think that he's also the kind of guy that we're going to have to judge after about 10 games and see where he's at, because he is such a hard worker and he is the kind of guy who's not going to he's not going to fail. And I don't think he'll let himself fail. And so I think that he's a guy who will bounce back and will play better. But things like a missed blockout or, you know, a crossover that was so unnecessary, that got a steal and a basket for Stony Brook. Those things, you clean up. They happen at the beginning of the year. And let's just hope that he plays to the level he's able to. And, again, like a guy like Verdell tonight, play more within himself and just be a facilitator of the offense as opposed to trying to make special plays all the time.
Yep. Now, a couple more things. And, again, we got about 20 minutes left in the program. You know, we're typically going to go about an hour after the final buzzer sounds. Again, we welcome your calls, 323-843-6016. This is the first time we're doing this. I honestly, as we're talking right now, I have no idea if anybody's listening. Hopefully, you know, some people came and listened. And if you are, we want your feedback. So call in. Don't be shy, 323-843-6016. And we're going to be here every single game. So get used to us. Make this your post-game hangout. We want you hanging out with us. We want your perspective. You know, and again, you know, I think a lot of people are going to focus on on Zeller, Oladipo, and Sheehy especially. You know, so I'm kind of enjoying talking about some of the other guys that I think are going to maybe may go a little bit unnoticed. And I'll tell you one thing from the stat sheet that may go the most unnoticed, but shouldn't, is the fact that Matt Roth played 7 minutes, scored 8 points, was 2 for 3 from downtown, made a couple of free throws. I think, you know, we've seen Matt Roth in the past, you know, that Ohio State game when he hit 9 threes, you know, several other games where he's gotten hot from downtown. You know, once that happened, obviously the word got out on Roth and no one gave him an inch to breathe, as they shouldn't have. And we know Roth. He's a guy like a Todd Leary that he can't create his own shot. He needs the offense to create shots for him. He needs set plays run for him. So he can succeed with a specific type of team on the floor. And, you know, just judging by the small sample size tonight and what you project this Hoosier team to be moving forward, I really think that Roth, now healthy, obviously he's got a shooting stroke. I mean, he's never going to lose confidence in that. He can be a guy that playing 10, 12 minutes, look what he did tonight. Like I said, 8 points in 7 minutes. You know, he can average a point a minute. I mean, he can come in, spot up for some shots, especially at the end of halves. You know, Kareem can sneak him in during a substitution. He can get free and knock down a shot. He's a guy that, you know, he's not going to stuff the stat sheet. You know, again, I mean, the comparisons to Todd Leary are easy, but they're very, very relevant because Leary was the kind of guy, you know, who could come in, you know, especially when you're down, knock down a couple threes, get you going, you know, give the team a spark. And I think you need guys like that throughout the Big Ten season. And Roth is looking like, not only with how confident he is, but what our offense looks like it can be, this can be a really, really good offense for getting Matt Roth open look. So I want you to talk about Roth real quick, and then the other guy that we haven't really touched on is Remy Abel, who I was actually really surprised to see play early. Kareem put him in early, like a lot of, you know, freshmen who aren't, you know, named Cody Zeller that, you know, come from families with, you know, just tons of college basketball experience. I mean, Zeller looked pretty comfortable from the get-go.
Right.
You know, Remy, you know, when he first got out there, he looked a little lost, and that's fine. He's a freshman. That's going to happen. You know, but he's a guy just, you know, we were talking before we came on the air about how, you know, you really think he can be one of those prototypical Kareem-type guards, especially from a defensive standpoint. So I want to hear your thoughts on Roth and then touch a little bit on what you think about Abel as well.
I've been waiting 3 years for Roth to consistently be on the floor. He's been injured, you know, he's suffered a couple injuries, but one thing that, again, and is another factor that completely changes an offense is a guy who can stretch the floor. And other than Hulls last year, IU really didn't have anybody who could consistently knock down threes. You know, Verdell is a great jump shooter. He's a great pull-up jump shooter, but he's not a three-point shooter. And in a driving kick offense, you need somebody to kick out to. And not having that, you know, teams would just play off our perimeter guys and dare him to shoot threes. And Roth is a guy who has always had that weapon. And I thought last year as well, he really developed as a defender too. He's not a great defender, but he can stay out there and he's not a black hole, you know. And tonight it was great seeing him come in. Guys drove a little bit and were like, hey, Matt's wide open 5 feet behind the three-point line. I mean, he's the kind of guy who is in the gym range. And, you know, they drive a little bit, find him in rhythm, boom, hit a three. Because the last couple of years I felt like when Roth has come in, he hasn't been able to shoot in rhythm because everybody knows that's what he's going to do. And so they bump him off curls. They, you know, kind of force him out further and further and further away from the hoop. And tonight it seemed like he was standing just outside the three-point line, maybe a foot back, foot or two back, and guys would take a dribble, boom, get him the ball. Reverse the ball in rhythm, another one. And so that's huge. When you, like you said, you can have a guy come off the bench and provide a spark like that, especially in the middle of a big game. You know, if there's a lull in the offense and you get a guy who can just get you 3 points right away, it's a huge, huge thing. And it gets the crowd going, too. Threes, the crowd loves threes. So, and IU, by the way, was 7 of 14 from behind the arc tonight, 50%. That's, I mean, better than we've seen in a long time.
Well, and while we're on the subject of three-point shooting, Stony Brook was 5 for 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if we know, I mean, there were one of the biggest struggles that Indiana has had and the biggest frustrations IU fans have had is the ability to defend three-point shot.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I screamed at the TV last year because people didn't close out or someone just got a wide-open three-point look. And now, you know, I certainly don't by any means think the problem was solved because, you know, there were a couple times that, the people shot over holes. Oladipo got lazy a couple times, and I saw guys get threes on him.
Right.
You know, Tom Pritchard had a really bad closeout, although, you know, it's Tom Pritchard closing out. You know, you're gonna get
I don't know what you expected there, but.
Yeah, I know. But the numbers look good. You know, 5 for 20 from downtown, I will take that. And it wasn't perfect, but it was better, and there was improvement. And it at least looked to me like the guys had focused on it and were thinking about, hey, we have to close out on shooters. Because, by God, if Jordan Taylor comes in and is able to, you know, score 30-plus points, just drain threes on us all game, I'm going to go crazy. Because we've got big guards who should be able to play defense and defend the three-point line. So, and I wanted you to talk about Remy Abel, so let me use that to lead into that, because Abel is a guy who is known more for his defense than his offense. And what are some of your thoughts on, number one, what we can expect from him as a freshman, and what you think he can turn into long-term?
As a freshman, I haven't gotten to see him play a whole lot through, you know, high school stuff and in the preseason. But what Abel is he's a 6'4", 200-pound guy as a freshman, which,
he's
I mean.
He's that tall?
Yeah. Well, that's where he's listed. That may mean 6'2". But he's listed at 6'4", 200. He's a big guy for his, you know, for being as quick as he is. I mean, because he's a point guard. And, I haven't seen him play a whole lot on offense, but all I've heard everybody talk about is how this kid is going to be a defender. And he seems like one of those, as we were talking before, a Tom Crean guard from Marquette, who he always had guys, you know, in his hip pocket who could just D a guy up and play really great defense, regardless of what he could do on the offensive end. The offensive stuff for a guy like that develops, I think, and obviously, I mean, he hit a nice jumper tonight. His shot looked great. I mean, I haven't gotten to see a whole lot of him. But I've heard from people that the thing that he's got is phenomenal defensive instincts. And I think he's the kind of guy who, you know, obviously you've got Yogi Ferrell coming in next year. You've got a couple of great, you know, guards that he's going to have to contend for playing time with. But at the same time, I see him being a guy who can provide solid minutes for at least 3 years. At least the last 3 years of his career, because if you can defend, especially in the Big Ten, if you're strong and can defend, you're invaluable against the guards in this conference.
Yep.
So I think that's huge. He's a huge get. I mean, they wouldn't have spent a late scholarship on him at the end of the last class unless they thought there was something serious there. And as far as this year, I think that, you know, he played 9 minutes tonight. I think that's a great amount of playing time for him because, again, he did get into the game early. Which surprised me as well. But he saw some time early, and then Crean had him on the bench for a while, stuck him back in, pulled him out. And you can tell on the sideline, they're doing that with him, like I was talking about with freshmen earlier. You get him on the bench, and you talk to him, you coach him up, tell him what he's seeing, what's going on, what's happening from play to play, you know, what guys are trying to do to him, and then put him back out there and see how he reacts, and then bring him back out, you know, and coach him through it. It's almost like a film session during the game. And, again, having that beat into you with getting it on the game and then getting it when you watch it on film, then getting it in practice and then getting it in the game again, it makes you a better player mentally and takes you to that next level with your basketball IQ. So I think once he gets that and more experience with that, I really think he could be a contributor to this team. I don't expect him to be playing at the end of games. I don't expect him at the end of big games. I don't expect him to really – you know, be a solid contributor points-wise or be, you know, playing 20 minutes a game. But I do see him being a guy who can give Halls or Jones a rest and come in and just play hard defensively. Don't worry about your offensive game. Just stop this guy. And then just be a guy who facilitates the offense, passes it through. You don't have to be relied on to score. And I think that's the best situation for him, especially as a freshman. It puts the least amount of pressure on him. Play to his strengths, let him play defense, and move the ball around on offense, but don't force anything, and let him develop confidence in that way, as opposed to develop confidence from trying to score or something like that. But he's a big kid. He's clearly athletic and quick, and I think he'd be a great defensive guard in this conference for a long time if he develops as he should.
Yep. All right, folks, we got about 10 minutes left. Again, the number is 323-843-6016. Feel free to call in. Some quotes from Tom Crean are coming through on Twitter. And, you know, for anybody, if you follow IU basketball on Twitter, some good guys to follow, Zach Osterman, ZACHOSTERMAN. Obviously, Pegues is a good follow. Inside the Hall, another good follow. Some tweets are coming in now, some quotes from Crean. These are all quoting Tom Crean via Zach Osterman. I thought our energy right off the bat was a key thing for us. It has to be. It's where we get our momentum. Our guys, they really understood where we wanted to attack this team from, especially initially. Uh-oh, I think we just lost Ryan. That's okay. Nobody tonight tried to make something happen that wasn't there, and that's a key for us. And I agree. You know, Crean praised Zeller in his defense and rebounding. He played a very complete game for a freshman, and this is true. He says the seventh starter is Elston. He's had two really good weeks. As for Abel and Etherington, they're freshmen certain days, but for most part, there's a consistency. And that's good, and I think that's what we're seeing. Crean went on about Cody. He's a guy who can finish. He went coast to coast today. It was unbelievable, but he did it. For Elston, I mean, as you guys saw, Cody, what he's done today is just the beginning. So I think, you know, when you look at tonight's game, and, you know, when you look at, okay, how do you look at, you know, first game of the season, you know, against a team like Stony Brook, you know, that was supposed to be pretty good coming into the year, but, you know, perhaps no one's really sure how good they are. How do you look at a game like this? I think you have to take away the positives from this game. You have to be just exceptionally excited about what you saw. Not that again, I mean, look, we're a team. We haven't won a Big Ten game two straight Februarys. So I don't think, you know, no one's going to get ahead of themselves and think that, you know, this team is a lock just because, you know, we had a good game here in the first game. But there were some things that you saw that we haven't seen. You know, the athletic ability of Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy is something that we haven't had in a couple of years. Now, we had it last year, obviously, because they're great athletes, but they weren't confident, competent basketball players. Tonight, both of those guys looked like they had a plan when they got the ball. You know, Victor was going to attack the basket. You know, Will looked for a shot, whether it was a deep three, 5 feet behind the line, or driving in for one of his soon-to-be patented Will Sheehy little finger rolls. You know, those guys had a plan, which was nice to see. And then, obviously, having a presence inside is just invaluable, and it's something that we haven't had in years here, and Cody Zeller is going to provide that. And, you know, people have mocked we Hoosier fans for, you know, for being excited about Zeller, perhaps even being overexcited about him, but you saw tonight why. You know, I don't think you can expect from Zeller necessarily what you saw from Sullinger last year from a point perspective. I think Jared Sullinger is probably, just at least from what I've seen, and I haven't seen, you know, I didn't see a ton of Cody Zeller play in high school, and obviously I've seen him play one exhibition game and one normal game. You know, I think Jared Sullinger is just more physically ready to dominate, or was more physically ready to dominate offensively as a freshman than Zeller was. So I don't think that's necessarily a fair comparison for what Zeller is going to bring. But what Zeller brings is a balance on the offensive end of the floor and the defensive end of the floor. Number one, a guy with size. And size is just something that you can't replace. You can't teach it. You can't grow it. You just have to have it. And Zeller has size. But he's a smart player. He rotates well on defense. He makes adjustments. You know, those first two possessions of the game, he got schooled by Dallas Joyner of Stony Brook. He just took him down low, muscled him up, and he scored twice on him. And he absolutely schooled him. Zeller made adjustments, and he played much better defense. He played great off-the-ball defense. And then offensively, you know, he struggled to get into the flow early because guys weren't finding him. And then in that second half, the Hoosiers really made a concerted effort to get the ball down low to him, and Zeller did a good job. He made himself available. He scored when the opportunities were there, He did a good job of, you know, passing out when the double teams were there, finding the open guy. Again, one of my favorite plays was that offensive rebound that Zeller was able to get, where he threw the pass to Oladipo, who had his man closed off. Oladipo scored. And those are the kind of plays, excuse me, that we haven't seen. You know, we haven't, I can't say, you know, we've won some games. I mean, we won 12 games last year, 10 the year before that, and 6 the year before that. So, you know, we haven't been winning a ton, as we know. We've won some games. I can't say there's been many, many games, many players have been like, that was such a smart basketball play. And that was a combination of just needing better basketball players and needing more experience. And I think, again, no one wants to get too excited. It's a 30-point win. When Indiana basketball is back to where we want it to be, this should be a game that we win by 30, and we want it by 30. So I think that's where the excitement comes from, is that this is a game that should be a relative breeze in the second half, that we can assert our will, play our game, get everybody involved, and we did. So, you know, should we be thinking that we're going to go into Columbus and beat Ohio State? No, not yet. This team has a lot of growing to do. This is one game. But there are many, many positives to take from it. And I think Zeller is going to be the guy that everybody's going to talk about because it was his first game, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy, I think he had a double-double. I need to check the stats. And let's look here. Zeller had, yeah, he had 16 points. He had 10 boards. He was 5-for-6 from the field. He was 6-of-8 from the line. I mean, Zeller was everything you could have wanted him to be. I think the big stories tonight, of course, Zeller is, but Oladipo and Sheehy and what they bring, and the at least through 40 minutes of basketball, the reports that we heard, especially about Sheehy being, you know, such a confident player, you know, a guy ready to make that leap into being one of the better players in the Big Ten, nothing happened tonight to make you think that that isn't the case. Oladipo, I mean, he played as well as anybody out there on both ends of the floor. And that's good, because what the Hoosiers need is their best athletes to also be their best basketball players. And I think, you know, one of the things that we saw last year, maybe even during Jordan Hull's freshman year, Jordan Hull has been one of our best basketball players. He's a smart player. He makes, you know, he typically makes good decisions with the ball. But he obviously has those athletic limitations that can hamper him sometimes. We need our best athletes to be our best basketball players. And we're starting to see that. We certainly saw it from Cody Zeller. We saw it from Victor. We saw it from Will Sheehy. And again, I thought Verdell Jones, you know, as he enters his senior year, he may score fewer points this year than he's ever scored, but he can make bigger contributions to a winning team than he's ever made. And he did that tonight. You know, Verdell did not have to shoot the ball as much tonight. He shot the ball 6 times. He was only 2-of-6. He was 3-of-4 from the line. He scored 7 points, but he had 7 assists. I thought, for the most part, parts that I watched, he played better defensively. You know, I distinctly remember a couple times, or at least one time, where he got beat off the dribble. But I thought he played with a little bit more energy, a little bit more awareness on the defensive end of the floor, which is nice to see. You know, Christian Wofford, again, we touched on him. He's been injured. He looked a little bit out of sync. That's okay. I don't worry about Christian Wofford on the offensive end of the floor. And I think, you know, as we know, you know, Christian isn't always a guy who's the most aware or the most into it on the defensive end of the floor. And what's going to help guys like Wofford, guys like Hollis, who get beat off the dribble sometimes, is they have a Zeller down there now, not only to challenge shots, but also to get rebounds. So, you know, as we come up here, we got about a minute left. Again, we're going to be here every week. Every game. We'll be here Sunday. Andy Bottoms and I will be here to talk about the Hoosiers' next game. We want your interaction. So call us up, talk, whatever you want to talk about, you know, guys that you want to give plaudits to, guys that you want to, you know, criticize something maybe they did in the game. We want to talk to you about it. We're going to be here. This is, you know, IU basketball is my passion. I grew up watching them. I'm so excited to see what this team has in store. So, again, the Hoosiers win by 30 over Stony Brook, 96-66, a great game. And we'll take you out with the IU fight song. Go Hoosiers. We'll see you Sunday.